Hello, and welcome to this session on self-care, balancing sacrifice and renewal with Daniel Kestenholtz. I'm Habiba, and I'll be the MC for this session. We'll be starting with a 16-minute talk by Daniel, then we'll move on to a live Q&A where he'll respond to some of your questions. There are actually some reflective exercises within Daniel's talk, so you might find it useful to have a pencil and a paper by your side. Now, I'd like to introduce our speaker for the session. Daniel Kestenholtz is an operations analyst at the Center on Long-Term Risk and an executive and personal coach. Previously, he was the COO of the Center of Long-Term Risk and the Effective Altruism Foundation for 5 years and worked in civil engineering and development cooperation. He studied economics and philosophy in Bern and Madrid. Here's Daniel.
My self-care was one of my biggest blind spots back when I was at university. That was in 2012, and I just started my bachelor's degree in economics and philosophy, and I took it very seriously. I had always viewed myself as a good student who did the work and got excellent grades, but now the amount of work just started to be overwhelming. And in addition, I discovered effective altruism and suddenly started to feel guilty for not doing enough to help others and for spending too much money on unnecessary things such as coffee in the university canteen, having an awareness of how this would translate into anti-malaria bed nets. And over the following 3 years, I studied hard and got the best grades, but I also lost a bunch of weight and was tired and unfocused on most days, and my body temperature decreased noticeably to the point where I was afraid to shake someone's hand since my hands were always cold. And eventually I realized that something was off, and I started to read a lot of health books and blogs and did a bunch of lab tests, which all came back normal, which was increasingly frustrating for me since I knew that things weren't okay, but I just couldn't point to what was going on exactly. And finally, I found out that my testosterone levels were extremely low, and I started testosterone replacement therapy, which had me get injections every 3 months for 2 years. And I learned that the most likely reason for my deteriorating health was that I simply didn't eat enough calories over an extended period of time, resulting in an overall shutdown of my body. And I slowly regained weight and mental clarity, but it took me a full 2 years to get back to baseline. And this was a big wake-up call for me, because I was shocked that it had taken me so long to notice and respond to my deteriorating health. And I learned from this experience that I needed to manage myself much more deliberately, and starting by paying close attention to what's going on and investing regularly into self-care, which is what I'm going to talk about here today. So here's what I'm going to talk about today. I'm first going to say a few words about why I think self-care matters, and then I'm going to introduce a simple model for how to think about how you manage yourself. And then I'm going to talk about why I think self-care is hard, and I'm going to offer a few ideas for how to get started. And I'm also going to pause at 2 times during the talk to give you time to digest what I'm sharing here with you and think about how it applies to you. And last, for the purpose of this talk, I'm going to use the definition of self-care as roughly paying attention to and supporting your physical and mental well-being. Now, why does self-care matter? I think it matters both intrinsically and instrumentally. So intrinsically, basically meaning that your well-being matters for its own sake, independently of anything else. And whatever you can do to increase your physical and mental well-being seems good in its own right. And then instrumentally, I would say that having good well-being is probably one of the most important ingredients for almost anything you might want to achieve in life. And especially when it comes to maximizing your lifetime impact on the world, it seems extremely important that you can do this from a place of resourcefulness, where you feel good yourself. And it's plausible that you might have your biggest impact later on in your career, when you're in your 40s and 50s. So increasing retention in effective altruism and longevity seems really important. And I think that self-care is a really important piece there. Now, zooming in on the instrumental part, the cycle of sacrifice and renewal is a simple mental model for how to think about how you manage yourself and your resources. And it consists of two parts that form a cycle. So the first part is sacrifice, where this is any activity that burns through your reserves in the pursuit of your goals. And an example might be studying really hard and preparing for an exam, or doing an intense weightlifting workout at the gym. And then the other part of the cycle is renewal, which is any activity that replenishes your reserves and builds further capacity that you can deploy later or in the next sacrifice cycle. And it really takes both parts to be maximally effective and productive. And the amount of progress you can make in the sacrifice part crucially depends on how well you manage the renewal part of the cycle. And you can apply this model at various time horizons, for instance, on the level of just a single task or a single day or your week or month. And I think there are a few useful reframes that follow from this model. So one, instead of thinking that I can't afford to take care of myself. Instead, it seems more true that I can't afford not to take care of myself, since really how much progress I can make towards my goals crucially depends on that. And a second reframe might be, instead of thinking taking care of myself isn't productive work, instead, it seems more useful to think that whatever allows me to do my best work is itself important work. Now, here a quick pause for you to reflect, and the prompts that you can use are, what are you currently doing to renew yourself and build capacity? And secondly, how effective are those strategies? And I'm going to give you 1 minute to think about those prompts. Okay, moving on. So the next part is, why is this hard? And I think there are many, many reasons that I could list here. But some of the most important ones in my mind are first, self-awareness. And that is basically, it requires a good amount of introspective capability to notice what's going on for you and to really notice these wake-up calls and red flags along the way. And another important reason is that the consequences of both good and bad self-care habits, they compound over time, which means that the most meaningful consequences, both good and bad, are delayed, and it might be hard to notice whether you're on a good or a bad trajectory. Another one is just your internal achievement drive, which pushes you to work really hard and might lead you to somewhat single-mindedly pursue your career goals while neglecting other things. And kind of related is the idea of demandingness, which seems to be an issue for many people in EA who think that they, once they've discovered effective altruism, they think that they should now spend every waking hour working to help other people. And social and environmental cues are also an important reason where It's quite rare that your environment really inspires and rewards good self-care habits. And often you also just don't notice what other people are doing to renew themselves. And so last, how can you get started? How can you do more to reliably renew yourself and show up fully? And I think maybe just a disclaimer before I go into that, I'm not a medical professional, and anything that I say here, you should take that with a grain of salt. And in case you have reason to believe that you have more serious mental or physical well-being issues, then please reach out to a professional. And the first thing I would suggest, based on what I've found useful myself and what I have seen other people recommend consistently, is to set boundaries to make space for renewal. And that is really, it's based on the premise that we're all kind of happy workaholics who love what we do and who would rather spend even more time every day working on what we're doing. There's always more work to do. So it never stops. And it's really difficult to manage this polarity between renewal and sacrifice in each moment. And since so many factors push against renewal, it makes sense to just set boundaries, and both in a temporal sense. So setting aside and blocking in your calendar time every day to renew yourself, for instance, investing the first 30 to 60 minutes of the day into self-care, or physical boundaries, which is quite difficult given the current pandemic, but separating where you do your work from where you spend the rest of your life can be quite important to disassociate environmental cues for your brain. And then last, cognitive boundaries, meaning that at a certain point, you just allow yourself to stop thinking about work. And if work thoughts still creep up, maybe you just write them down somewhere where you can find them again the next day. Second, my recommendation would be to fill that space that you've created by setting boundaries with good self-care practices that reliably rejuvenate you. And a few suggestions here would be to develop some sort of mindfulness practice. It can be very simple, anything that really allows you to find the moment of quiet during your day and really check in with how you're doing, which could be 2 minutes of mindfulness meditation. It could be some stretching between work tasks. It could also be just a short walk after work. Anything really that allows you to increase your self-awareness and notice what's going on for you, which allows you to make better choices about this sacrifice versus renewal cycle. And then secondly, exercise, which has many, many benefits. And there are many ways for you to do that. Basically, anything that any physical activity can be useful. And, something like a 7-minute workout once a day or a 30-minute walk after work seems useful. And then last, sleep hygiene is really big because good sleep really amplifies everything else in your day. And there are many resources out there that say, tell you what you should do, and probably already have a good idea yourself. But really taking sleep hygiene seriously and investing into it regularly seems quite important. And then finally, reflect regularly to find out what works so you can improve what you do. And this is really a big part of what allows you to spot these downward spirals early. And one suggestion here would be to have a daily 1 minute routine at the end of your workday where you intentionally decide how you're going to spend your downtime so you can get the maximum renewal benefits. And something like a weekly review can also be useful, where you think about what you've tried in terms of renewal and what's been working well, what hasn't worked, and what you want to do differently in the week ahead. So with that, this is my last slide. The invitation again will be to reflect on what you've learned from this talk and based on that, what you want to do differently moving forward, and whether there's one thing you can start doing today. And it helps to be really specific here. And also maybe reflect on how can you make sure this actually happens? Is there anything you can do to make sure that you can actually follow through with that intention? So I'll give you 2 minutes here to reflect. Okay, and with that, I'm looking forward to the Q&A.
Thank you for that talk, Daniel. And I see that we've got quite a few questions coming in from a lot of people, I think, very keen to work out how to apply this in their own lives. So we'll just kick off with the top-rated question. Are there any heuristics to really tell, A, when you especially need self-care, and B, how effective your self-care strategies are?
Yeah, so I think one simple heuristic is to just look like whenever you feel like you have the least amount of time for self-care, that's probably when you need it the most. I think it can manifest in different ways for different people. So basically when noticing that you're sacrificing too much could manifest as, I don't know, gastrointestinal problems for some people. For others, it might be that they're starting to snap at colleagues forget important things. And I think since the symptoms might, the indicators are so kind of fuzzy and varied, it just pays to just make space where you slow down and ask yourself, do you notice any yellow or red flags? Mm-hmm. And I think that's as good as it gets when it comes to heuristics here.
Yes, actually, before we move on to the second part of that question, I think other people have asked a different sort of aspects of this first question about how to tell. So I guess just to dive into a few of those different angles. Someone's asked, how can you distinguish between occasional lows with moments where you're really pushing yourself harder than what's sustainable?
Right. I think I find it quite difficult to say. And again, it's probably whenever you notice that your effectiveness is impaired for more than, I don't know, 2 or 3 or 4 days, and it starts to become somewhat of a pattern, I think it's time to pause. But yeah, sometimes just going doing a sprint at work and working really hard towards one goal for a week might just be the sensible thing to do. Mm-hmm. I think it's you would notice it, for instance, when you notice that you become less effective at just typical daily tasks. And I think I would take that as a red flag.
Mm-hmm. And do you have specific ways that you do this check-in with yourself? Is it like, do you ask yourself a certain set of questions, or do you have a format for that?
I do it in a fairly intuitive way myself. And basically I will have the first 45 minutes of the day for self-care where I get up, stretch, and do some meditation, you know, like the standard stuff. And I will notice during that time just how my body is feeling, whether it's how much capacity I have, and whether my mind is restless, whether I'm able to sustain focus for more than 10 seconds at a time. Mm-hmm. And I will take that as input when I then go and plan my day, to say just like how much am I able to sacrifice that day, and how high should I aim. And yeah, other than that, I reflect every week when I do my weekly review, just asking myself like, yeah, how am I doing? Just open-ended question, and then just writing. And also, how much am I enjoying my work right now? And chances are, if my score is below 7 out of 10, that's a strong indicator that something about self-care, including self-care, is not working. And then I'm asking myself like, yeah, what's the most useful thing I can do in the next week, including things that might be sort of meta work, such as taking care of myself. Mm-hmm. And I think that the important thing is just to have regular moments where you slow down sufficiently to kind of see through the fog and distractions. And it can take many forms, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned the effect of those strategies themselves. Someone has asked, what do you do when the self-care itself is so hard that it burns through your resources?
Yeah, I think that's an important question, really. And one that I think it starts with self-awareness, which is really probably the constraint that people will most often face, just noticing when actually what you're currently trying, your current strategy is net negative for your resources. And once you're aware of that, I think what I try to do is just back off, basically realize, okay, this strategy isn't working. I'm going to aim lower. And I think it helps to just have a few default low energy strategies available that you can then pull out in that moment. And for me, this might be something like just going for a walk or listening to a podcast that doesn't require much mental processing, listening to some music. And I think the biggest challenge for me is acceptance of the fact that I'm currently like not being able to do anything that I would want to do. And I think that's just the practice, basically, to get used to, oh yeah, I'm not able to do anything right now. That's fine. The best thing I can do is to accept it and not do further damage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. It seems like your priorities should just shift towards solving the thing that is the most important thing in front of you right now.
I think that's really the key challenge here, is to not grow attached to any specific strategy. Mm-hmm. And that itself is quite a practice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I guess it's like related to sort of the fact that what works for one person isn't necessarily going to work for you. I personally, going for a run at like 6 a.m. would be my worst nightmare, but having a long lie-in on a Saturday morning is perfect for my kind of renewal type exercises. So different strokes for different folks.
Yeah.
And I guess that kind of relates to the sort of the second part of the first question I asked, which was that a heuristic for telling how effective your self-care strategies are. I don't know if you had anything else to add to that.
Mm-hmm. Again, I would probably try to just ask myself one or two questions, like how engaged was I in this activity that I tried, and yeah, what do I think? How do I think it affected my resources? It's probably quite fuzzy again, but I think by paying close attention regularly, you will be able to tell.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that, Daniel. And I'm afraid that's all the time we have for questions now. But before you leave the session, please do give us your feedback in the poll section of the live chat.